A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Sunday, 19 January 2025. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, the Heart Sutta, second edition, by me. We are at page 110, lesson 21. As usual, we will have our puja chanting, then after that, we will continue with our sharing. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Hiền Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Hiền Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Hiền Bồ Tát. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo Amitabha, Namo Milafa, Namo Milafa, Namo Milafa, Namo Yao Si Fa, Namo Yao Si Fa, Namo Yao Si Fa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa, Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa, Namo Di Zhang Wang Bồ Tát. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipano Bhagavato Sakasango Sanghang Namami Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Amesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and Devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chiakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Sabdan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Sabdan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Sabdan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditambo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidang chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaniyo anuttarang punyang ketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, now we'll continue from where we stopped, page 110 of this second edition of our Heart Sutta book. Okay, part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on what we have gone through in the previous lesson. So in the previous lesson, we went through the seven stages of purification, or in Pali, the Buddha called it Satta Visuddhi. Satta is seven, Visuddhi is purification. So Satta Visuddhi means the seven stages of purification. This is how we cultivate to purify our mind. So the first three are purification of morality, purification of mind, and purification of views. So these first three, purification of morality or sila, followed by purification of mind or content of consciousness. And the last one is purification of views. Then the fourth one is purification of knowledge and vision of overcoming doubt. are all very important purification. This is especially so for the first three purification, where one must get it right. So this I have explained many times, emphasized many times too. So now you will go through it again. So the understanding of the advice of the Buddha or all Buddha under Dhammapada verse 183 is the most important, for it is based on the deep understanding of this born, based on a deep understanding born of right view in regards to the law of karma. Because of this law of karma, according to this law of karma, the Buddha, after having realized the enlightenment, he was able to understand it so well to the extent that he has come up with the advice for all living beings. And all Samasambuddha, when they awaken, they teach the same. So under this advice, he said, Sabba papasa akaranang kusale sa upasampadan sacitta pariyodapadang etang buddhana sasana. The meaning is very beautiful and very deep. Sabbe is all. So sabbe papasa means all evil akaranang must be avoided. So all evil is to be avoided is the first advice. And this one comes from our understanding of the law of karma. According to the Buddha, after he realized, he said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. And because of that, he said, you reap what you sow. Do good begets goodness. Do evil because evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you receive the merits of wholesomeness. If you plant the seed of evil, you will receive the fruit of evil, which can bring about karmic negativity or karmic downfall. And based on all his understanding and explanation, he make it very clear that we need to take care of karma. Well, we are born of it, heir to it, conditioned, supported by it, and we are what we are because of this law of karma. So how do we take care of karma? Karma is moral causation. That's why the first purification is purification of moral value. Sila visuddhi. So from there, we start. To take care of karma, we need to purify our conduct, means morality, moral conduct. So to do that, the first thing that you need to do is to avoid all evil. And how do we do that? So the first inquiry is, what constitutes evil? Otherwise you cannot start, you cannot proceed. That's why the teaching is very systematic. And the Buddha highlighted in the teaching that the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are the roots of all evil. So if your mental intention behind all of your actions, speech, and thought process are with this evil root, then they will condition you to become very evil. Hence, creating one's negative karma, where you reap what you sow. So this part is very important. So this greed, hatred, and delusion is a Pali translation. What the Buddha shared during that time was the first evil root, he called it Lobha, L-O-H-B-A, which stands for general term, all of your greediness, covetousness, selfishness, and everything that has this, what they call roots, born of sakyadity, self-delusion, that condition you to believe you are a permanent unchanging entity that can own thing, possess thing, have thing. That's why you will have greed, you will have selfishness, you will want thing your way, covetousness and all those things. Then possessiveness also same, you want to control people, you want to own people. So all these are the evil roots of greed, born of selfishness, born of possessiveness, born of what they call craving, clinging, grasping. So you have to expand these evil roots of greed, or in Pali it's called loba. Then the second evil root is hatred, or the evil roots of dosa. Dosa, the Malay meaning is sin. When you commit a sin, is dosa. But in Pali, it's only certain aspect of sin. Your selfishness and your greed is also part of sin. But this loba stands for anger, hatred, jealousy, what they call negative emotion, like your violent nature, and your deep resentment, intense hatred or anger, then sometimes jealousy, So all this can manifest when you have sakyadity or self-delusion. Then the last one is delusion. Delusion, there is a Pali word for it. The Buddha called it moha. So there is a big difference between moha and avijja. I better write on the whiteboard. So these three evil roots, greed, hatred, and delusion. So here the Pali equivalent is loba. So as explained, all of your selfishness, greediness, craving, possessiveness, grasping, clinging, all consists of that evil roots of loba. Then this one is dosa. Then the last one is moha. So this moha, just how I want to explain to you, is this moha is delusion. Delusion here include only self-delusion, or sakyadity. Whereas there is another Pali word they call avijja. Avijja means ignorant. Ignorant of the truth. Ignorant of all the nature's law that governs life and existence. So here, moha, self-delusion, is only a small part of avijja. In fact, avijja covers the whole, what they call spectrum of delusion or ignorance. So this word ignorant covers everything that is not included under moha. Moha here is only self-delusion. Avijja, when you are ignorant, means you don't understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, like the law of karma, the law of mind, the law of truth. So it can be the Four Noble Truths and all those things. Whereas moha here is mainly born of sakyadity. When you have sakyadity, self-delusion, moha, you will have greed and you will have hatred. Then here, the self-delusion includes other mind states, or what we call like your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your loneliness, and all those things. So all these are classified under moha. So whatever that is not greed and hatred, but related to the personality or ego that manifests, like your thought projection, that trigger of and manifest fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, grief, and even what they call depression. When you are depressed, when you are lonely. So all these are the very wide classification of greed, hatred, and delusion, which cultivator of the way must develop. Okay, now we go back to the sharing, the notes. Then I explain again, it will become much clearer. So now you understand purification of morality, sila, or mind, citta, or content of consciousness, and view, ditti. So all cultivation of purification start with purification of morality. So it comes from the right view with regards to the law of karma. That's why the first advice of the Buddha is to avoid all evil. Because if you cannot avoid all evil, you will entangle yourself with karma. And you have to inquire what constitutes evil. Everything that you do that is connected to sakkayaditti or self-delusion, like your selfishness, your envy, your jealousy, your hatred, your anger, your negative emotion, your craving, your grasping, clinging, including your possessiveness and all those things. Then when you project your thought, when you are in doubt, you develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lament. So these are the mind state of moha, or self-delusion. So from here, the Buddha say, you need to develop all this understanding and follow his first advice to avoid all evil. So in order to simplify the understanding, he continued further by advising you to do that. You only need to keep the minimum 5 precepts. Why 5 precepts? Because these 5 precepts, the Buddha through his perfection and wisdom realized that if you violate them, it constitutes major evil, which we have gone through. You can put to test all the precepts, like the first precept, Panatipata Veramani Sikkhapada Samadhi Yami, in Pali. Then in English is, we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. We have to inquire, who kill, what kill. So people who has greed, selfishness, craving, possessiveness, then anger, hatred, and all this fear, worry, anxiety. So the three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion are there. That's why they dare to scheme and plan to kill or cause bodily harm or suffering, to take advantage of the situation. Sometimes because of greed, they want to kill and harm so that they can have advantage over what you own. Could be your property, your whatever power, power base, and other things. Then sometimes through enmity, through hatred, through jealousy, you can cause to kill. And through your violence, you can cause to kill and harm. That's why all this constitute major evil. You can also go through the other precept, the second, third, fourth, and fifth precept. Who were, like the second precept, you undertake the training rule to abstain from taking things that don't belong to you. Who will mismanage all these things? Take things that don't belong to them, like stealing. Yeah. Trying to take advantage of situation. People who are selfish, greedy, deluded, they're at times emotional, like out of fear, they do all those things. They fear you might come to know and you might report what happened. They're out of fear. They want to make sure the evidence you have is not there. So they will steal. They will do a lot of things. So all this violation of moral precepts, first, second precept, they have the evil roots there. That's why they are root of all evil. They constitute major evil. You have to abstain. You have to keep that precept so that you don't violate it. Well, violating it can give rise to severe karmic repercussion, karmic, what they call friction. It will lead to karmic negativity and karmic downfall. The third precept also same. Undertake the training to abstain from sexual misconduct, because the damages or the serious consequence of violating this precept is a lot. People who are deluded, they do this. Out of what? Out of desire, craving, is again the evil roots of greed. Then when they do this, they call it a cheap thrill or moments of excitement and desire, craving. You are willing to sacrifice your family harmony, your family, what they call beautiful family unit and good life. Because when you are caught violating that precept, your spouse, out of jealousy, anger and hatred, will suffer. Then they will develop hatred, end up in further conflict, misunderstanding, argument, and sometimes go to the extent of divorce, proceeding, danger of all this. Then when this thing start and flare off, it will lead to a lot of entanglement into other people who are related to them, like their parents, their in-laws, their family members who have relationship with them, then especially their children. They are the most affected one. Yeah. So all this points towards the danger of violating all these precepts. That's why cultivating the moral conduct, to purify the moral conduct, we need to really have the understanding to reflect so that we will never be foolish and deluded to commit all this, which is not worthwhile. I always use the word not worthwhile, because this precept you cannot violate, not worthwhile to violate, because you really have to pay terribly for all this karmic negativity. So the fourth precept is the same, telling lie, or arising all the wrong speech, like harsh speech, backbiting, then creating frivolous speech, then lying with all the selfish intent behind. So all this can lead to karmic downfall. And the last precept is the worst. When you don't keep this precept, you don't undertake the training rule to abstain from partaking intoxicants and even hard liquor, alcoholic drinks, that can cause your mind consciousness to be affected. It can dull your consciousness, make you heedless, lack of clarity. Then you will lapse into the unconscious very fast. That's why people who drink, partake in intoxicant drugs, their mind states are terrible. And when they are under the influence of drugs, alcohol, or the thing, they can break all the above four precepts. So these are the what they call understanding that you have to have. Then when you see the danger in violating this, you will come to clearly understand the Buddha's advice. Why he said all evil must be avoided. Not just avoid evil, all evil. Otherwise, it will come back and haunt you. Because certain karmic evil, the moral causation, especially the one that occur at the second to the fifth chitina, thought moment. The first and sixth, they may not be there forever. But the second to sixth will remain for eternity until you are able to resolve it through asking for forgiveness and invoking power of merits and all these things. Otherwise, it will continue to manifest, to haunt you whenever there is causes and condition behind. So this part, hopefully with the understanding, you can really develop the understanding not to take it lightly or violate these five precepts. And they are the minimum that you need to maintain, where they are major evil. They constitute major evils. Yeah. So understanding this part is the first stage of morality purification, sila, visuddhi. Then I read on, you will understand. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are the roots of all evil. They constitute major evil when you manifest them. So if your mental intention behind all your actions, speech, and thought process are with these evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, which I have elaborated on just now, they will condition you to become very evil, hence creating one's negative karma. Yeah, you reap what you sow. So whatever you do to people, you kill, you harm, you deceive, you cheat, you steal, when the condition manifests, the friction comes, you reap what you sow, you become the victim. People will kill you, harm you, steal from you, or cause your possession to be lost, either stolen or destroyed through nature's calamity, or whatever the situation may be. You can be robbed, you can be scammed, like nowadays a lot of scam. Yeah, in the past, you have stolen all this from people. You deceive, you cheat, you do all those things. You reap what you sow. This time, whenever there is condition, you become victim. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, please heed this advice to avoid all evil so that you don't create causes and conditions for your future coming to entangle yourself with this karmic negativity. So understanding that the mental intention behind everything you do, action, speech, and thought process are very important. If you have these evil roots in your mind state as mental intention, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and anger, that evil condition you to become very evil. That's why they are root of all evil. Hence creating one's negativity of karma. You reap what you sow. So take for example selfishness and anger. Once these evil roots are there, they can condition one to kill and harm and take advantage of a situation for their personal selfish gain. So all these are examples for you to understand. Then the next part is sankhara, mental states or content of consciousness. According to the teaching, the Abhidhamma, there are 52 sankhara mind states. And some are wholesome and some are unwholesome. So we need mindfulness and heedfulness or apamada to be aware of them so that we can avoid all evil. We are the heedful mind. So that's the reason why we need to cultivate heedfulness. And to be heedful, we need to be ever mindful and constantly meditative. So with heedfulness and mindfulness or sati, we can see clearly how our mind get conditioned into negativity. How the mind states with the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion arise. We are our own ignorant and self-delusion or sakayaditi. Then how we get ourselves entangled with the evil mind states of anger, hatred, selfishness, lust, envy, jealousy, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, etc. Through our lack of understanding of the Four Noble Truths, thereby conditioning us to grasp and cling onto the unreal, which has the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta, or impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature of all phenomena. So without wisdom, we will not understand how we are conditioned into karmic negativity that bring about karmic downfall, leading to suffering, misery, affliction, etc. Then understanding the third noble truth, that suffering need not be if we had developed the wisdom before confronting the first noble truth realities of life and existence, is very important. And that enlightenment in the here and the now is possible once we have awakened to the three universal characteristics of nature. Then also, we also need to know the fourth noble truth. We also heard the Buddha. If you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So your cultivation should accumulate into the development of the noble eightfold path factor until they become a part of you. So when you have the embodiment of all this noble eightfold path factor, then you have the wisdom and the understanding to bring about the end of all suffering. That's how you realize enlightenment, Nibbana in the here and now. Then I continue by sharing. I say, with wisdom and awareness or sati, one can just be aware and let things be. We are seeing things as they are. This sentence is very profound. You can see things as they are, means you have wisdom. And then there will be no more suffering. When there is wisdom in seeing things as they are, well, thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things we learn. Well, everything follows nature's law. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Everything is just dependent originating. Condition arising, cause of phenomena. Not so real, not what you think. So, ability to let things be is having the wisdom to understand what the Buddha meant by learn to see things as they are. The direct seeing, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. And then there will be no more suffering. Then what one can do is one can just echo and flow with condition without any resistance. Resistance is conflict. Resistance is wrong view, leading to war, leading to misunderstanding, argument, conflict, etc. That's how the world becomes so chaotic. Yeah. So if you can just accord and flow with condition without any resistance, means you have wisdom. Hence, there is no more suffering or any unhappiness. No need to develop the negativity or mind state of jealousy, selfishness, grieving, possessiveness. No need. We are wanting things your way, which is not Nietzsche's way or the reality, which is what is. So we cannot argue with what is. Well, what is Nietzsche's condition. What is the reality, suchness, ta-ta-ta. So understanding this is wisdom, very profound. That's why the Buddhist teaching is very unique. Simple word, like learn to see things as they are. Learn to accept the reality of the moment. But this is a conditional. Everything within the conditional is condition arising, causal phenomena. They are dependent originating, not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, grasp on to, and hold on to say this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. This is self-delusion, sakkayadity. So contemplate, reflect, wake up, and realize this profoundly. Everything is just the way it is. That's why when you see clearly the nature's condition that governs life existence, then you can understand this profound meaning that the Buddha always explained. Everything is tatata, suchness, nature. Okay, then I continue. Sati or mindfulness, which is the first factor of enlightenment and most important spiritual faculty, is very important. Because without sati, there is no heedfulness. And without heedfulness, there is no spiritual life. Because the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 21 say, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas those without heedfulness, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead, means although you may be physically alive, a conscious human being, but you don't have spiritual life. Spiritually, you don't stand a chance. You cannot become enlightened. You are dead. So without sati, one cannot be heedful. So the heedful never die. You cannot realize. Instead, the opposite holds. Heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. Yeah. So this is the danger. Yeah. That's why the advice of the Buddha is strive on with heedfulness. Apamadena sambadeta. So without sati, the other reason is one cannot investigate the Dhamma to arise the second factors of enlightenment. To strengthen your faith and virya, one must investigate into the following important Dhammapada verses. Verse 1 and 2, the twin verse on karma. Then verse 21, 22, 23 and verse 183. And confirm that this truth stand up to investigation, thereby establishing our faith firmly in the law of karma, as explained by the Buddha, to reaffirm our right view with regards to this law of karma. So once you can cultivate all this and go deep into all this, you become very different. Your cultivation will take off. Then you will not the law of karma lightly. You will become very serious about life. You will become very mindful, heedful to keep your precepts. Then I continue. I say, all of sankhara, or mental activity, including all of your feelings and perception, means Vedana and Sanya, are impermanent, for they arise and pass away constantly, and they are in a state of flux or continuous flux. Thought activity also same. They come and they go. They arise and they pass away. It's the birth and death, appearing and disappearing, exhibiting its characteristics are impermanent, constantly. When you are mindful, aware, you can see every phenomenon is like that. Then with wisdom within, one sees it clearly. Whereas the mundane mind without wisdom is very heedless. It thinks a lot. It clings on to a lot of delusion, wrong view. My teacher used to tell me, finally, there is only this pure awareness nature, which is the true mind. Yeah. You will realize this towards the end. But finally, there is only pure awareness, nothing else. Then from there, I came to realize later, when the rather gross mundane mind or thinking mind of mind collapse, leading to the arising of the true mind, which is just the pure awareness and silent nature within. It is very fine and like no mind. It's like the pure nature or the pure awareness nature. It just shines forth like the sun's ray. When the mundane mind collapses, there is no more cloud or no more of this emotion, sankhara activity or sankhara mind state to actually cloud you, to obscure your vision. Because when they are around, like your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your selfishness, your violence, your possessiveness, your craving, your lust, all these are the sankhara mind state. They are like the clouds that cloud the sun's ray from penetrating through. So when you are preoccupied with all this emotion, psychological emotion and memories, you become heedless, lost in thought. You are only concerned with what is within the content. So what happened is, when you lost yourself, you cannot be aware. When you are not aware, you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you think, how your mind stir and react, and all the wrong thought that arise through your wrong views, they manifest. That's how living beings become heedless. They don't have clarity. Their mundane mind clouds them, especially sankhara activity. But when the mundane mind no more, there is clarity, like the cloud all dispersed. Then the awareness nature shine forth. Then the awareness nature make you aware. It is so clear, so tranquil, so still. Then that silence within, that clarity, enable you to see things as they are. The direct seeing, the direct knowledge and vision of the phenomena, their universal characteristics. That's why you can insight into phenomena. You can awaken. You can see clearly how your mind stir, react, and become, how you become conditioned into negativity of mind state, and how it trigger off karmic, affliction, suffering, misery. So all these are very beautiful understanding. So here I describe it very clearly. It's like the pure nature or the pure awareness just shine for, well, the mundane mind no more, nothing to cloud you anymore, like the cloud everything that actually obscure your nature's vision, shine for. Yeah. Then everything become clear. Things that you never see, you start to see. Yeah, you are not lost in thought. Like I always say, man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware without thought, or you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking, planning, scheming, reacting, stirring, everything. Then there is the last part. I always add, I say, but there is such a thing as life, even though it's only within the moment, with the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, as we have established earlier. Past is already gone, hence it's not a reality anymore. Similarly, future has yet to happen, so it's also not a reality. Hence, the only reality in existence is only the present moment. And moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Every thought just arises and passes away very quickly. So as real as it can be, it is there or existed only within that moment when it arises. After that, it's dead and gone. So do wake up and do not sleep or dream anymore. The phenomenal world of consciousness is not what you think, as long as you are not deluded to grasp and cling, then you are okay and you won't be afflicted. So don't hold, don't grasp, don't cling or give meaning to attach to anything, even to your memories. Then you will be free and peaceful always. Without delusion and ignorance, you are beautiful. When you can see things as they are, then you will not be deluded by all this phenomenal world of consciousness and form. The form and mind will be clear to you. Then there will be no more entanglement to cause you any more mental suffering or misery or affliction. The reason being, the mind has awakened to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, hence no longer gullible. So this part is very important. Reflect on it, understand it, then live by it. Then the next paragraph, with heedfulness well established, the mind is constantly aware of all your mental movements and intention. So having heedfulness well established is very important, because when you can do that, you are constantly aware of all your mental intention and movements. You will come to understand how you are conditioned into negativity of mind state via your mind's wrong thought, wrong view, or delusion, self-delusion. They condition you to grasp and cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind as the I and the me and the mind. You will also come to understand how you develop the likes and dislikes, how your mind stir and react to sense experience, how pleasant and unpleasant sense experience comes to be via your reaction to what you see and perceive at the moment of sense experience, when you lack this wisdom or so-called yoniso manasikara, which is wisdom at the moment of attention, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. You will come to experience all of the four noble truths, the dependent origination, paticca-samuppada, or dwelling, and how your mind functions. We are witnessing the dwelling occurring within your mind. Always be aware within and develop the ability to use the trained mind in heedfulness to cultivate the penetrative wisdom born of the direct seeing, to clearly awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, to liberate your mind. You will come to witness how all your feelings arise and pass away like a bubble. All of your perception, activity of mind, and sankhara activity, or mental consciousness, they also exhibit the same characteristics of impermanence, leading to your ability to realize their anatta nature, or non-self, and not a permanent, unchanging entity nature. Means when you realize the anatta nature, means you also will realize the suffering nature within all phenomena. Yeah. Okay, so at least we end that part. Then we go to part two. Part two here is from the Heart Sutta. Form does not differ from emptiness, from the previous page 51 to 57. So the concept of form is emptiness, and emptiness is form is very difficult for people to understand or to grasp. And most people cannot understand this. There are also some Buddhists of the Theravada tradition who think that Mahayana teaching is not authentic, because they cannot accept the Heart Sutta saying, or Heart Sutta teaching that said, form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. But for those who understand, there is no such problem, because basically the Buddha's teaching on anatta, as presented in the Theravada tradition, also gives the same meaning for anatta as non-self and empty nature of all existence, and sunyata, or emptiness. For whatever that is impermanent is not a permanent unchanging entity that we can cling on to and say, this is me and this am I. That is, they cannot be owned or possessed. Ultimately, they are all mind-make and empty, because form and mind are all condition-arising phenomena. Hence, he no you, he no me. Also, the Buddha always say, rupang anicchang, rupang anatta. Before something exists in space, there was only space or emptiness. So form, which occupied the empty space later, does not differ from the characteristic, are not different characteristic with the empty space. So in form, you are able to see and understand the principle of emptiness and hence not yet attached. If we go direct into the mind, then we will know that all knowing comes from mind, as mind is the forerunner of all things. So everything is only consciousness, appearing and disappearing. So how real can it be? This is the reason why it is empty. It is just an image, a mental image, conjured by consciousness, which is like the great magician, as explained by the Buddha. We are his five aggregates of form and mind. Bring back a bit more. Okay. So here, when it comes to form, does not differ from emptiness, I think I have explained. Yeah? Before something exists in space, there is only space, or you can say emptiness. So the form which occupied the empty space later does not differ from that empty space. That's why in the Heart Sutta is mentioned, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is basically empty. Yeah. And emptiness is basically no different from form. Yeah. So that reflects the teaching of sunyata, empty nature of existence. Empty means not what you think, not surreal. You cannot deny that you have lived through that phase of life, which we call life, or from birth until now. But when we inquire, or when I ask you, how real is it? all this already happened, understand not? The past is no more a reality. We are past, already gone, no more a reality. Future yet to come, also no more a reality. And what is the only reality is the moment, the present moment. And how stable is the present moment? Moment to moment it arises and it passes away. Arise and pass. And that is the only reality. So how real can life be? So when you see this clearly, then you wake up. Everything that we grasp and cling has got no more meaning. We are like the Buddha say, our mind, the mundane mind, is the forerunner of all things. So everything is only consciousness, mind make, appearing, disappearing, coming and going. But in between, we deludedly created the illusion of time. We created the past and the future. And we get ourselves entangled with the past and the future. When we recall the phobia, the unhappy past, the misery, the loss, the separation, we suffer. We project into the future. We create fear, uncertainty. We worry about life. But the reality is, within that moment, thing is just arising and passing away. There is no past and no future. Past and future are only concept of time. We created this through illusion. So see it clearly. Awaken to it. Then through the direct seeing, then you realize the mundane mind is also dependent originating. All the aggregates, feeling, perception, sankhara, and vijnana, they come and they go. They arise and they pass away. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. So they are impermanent. They follow nature's law. That's why when you see everything within the conditioned world are conditioned arising entity. That's why in the Diamond Sutta is mentioned very clearly. Each year you wave off. Zu mong huan pao yin. Zu lu yi lu tian. Yin zuo lu si quan. The meaning is, everything within the conditioned world, they are conditioned Dhamma. And because they are conditioned Dhamma, they are dependent originating phenomena following nature's law. And because of that, he said, they are not real. Zu mong, dreamlike. Then, it's like an illusion. Zu mong, huan, pao yin. Pao is like a bubble, like the feeling, pop, gone, bubble, gone. Then, shadow. Appears so real, follow you, but it's just a shadow. So dreamlike, illusion, bubble and shadow, how real can it be? That's why it's not what you think. So this is the reason why it is all empty. You may not deny that this thing do happen, but you can only recall through memory. If there is no mind to recall, everything is empty and not so real, not what you think. And because they are dreamlike illusion, bubble and shadow, you must not be deluded by it, fooled by it, deceived by it. So when they have no power over you, the whole of creation collapses in front of you. Then you see everything is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will like that. Coming and going, arising and passing away. Exhibiting the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang and anatta very clearly. So from this, the mind realizes itself, awakens, and sees. that it has got nothing to do with the world. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Then you return to the still nature within. Then after that, the pure awareness also ceases. That's how you realize enlightenment, Nibbana, in the here and the now. So this section which we have shared is very beautiful. Yeah? Okay, now I will stop here. I will mark, we finish part 2. So I will mark this part 3. Yeah? 113. Yeah? So we stop here. So as usual, awareness-based meditation. Silence your mind. Relax body and mind completely. When you silence your mind, you can maintain awareness. Well, most people don't know how to silence their mind. The moment they silence their mind, they fall asleep. But for those who have developed the training or awareness-based meditation, the moment you relax, you won't fall asleep. You just relax and let the mind settle down. Then maintain the awareness inside until it's very, very stable. Yeah. Then stabilize the inner awareness until that mundane thinking mind does not create, does not stir, and does not move. Then it returns to its original state of stillness, tranquility, inner awareness, peace, silence. Then you realize your true mind. And from there, allow it to be, stay at the heart and let it move and develop the meditative movement. Okay, I will let you develop the awareness-based meditation on your own. Then now I will set the alarm for 45 minutes. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay. Now we'll continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, Q&A, regarding the Dhamma, regarding the meditation, or regarding how to apply what you have learned for your understanding of life and to resolve all your whatever so-called suffering or problems in life.
Amitabha, Bratio, and Mrs. Steele, and all Kayamitas. Bratio, I will just
continue.
Yes.
The last sharing. Yeah.
But before that, actually, today's sharing is very, very good. Yes, very good. It actually kind of summarizes the cultivation. So,
and how does a cultivator start with purification of sila? And the
sila
understanding is very important. Until you can do that, your mindfulness will not stabilize. Then when your mindfulness stabilizes, only you can see the content of consciousness. Then you can actually go with mindfulness into the mind state. Then purification of citta start means content of consciousness. When the content of consciousness has fear, has greed, has selfishness, has delusion, everything, you can see them. Then when you see them, how you actually attend to it. That's how you purify your content of consciousness. It is similar to the morality part, but now deeper, because you have gone into the content. Means you are observing all the sankhara mind state. And each and every of these is a movement due to the three evil root at the mind level. No more at the what they call external level. External level means form dhamma. Form dhamma means Although there is also the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, but they didn't go into the content of consciousness. They only try to look at the mental intention. Then when you go into the content of consciousness, then when you become familiar and you can purify all the content of consciousness, until the content of consciousness most of the time is without the what they call unwholesome evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Then when you can do that, you realize your view would have changed. That's how you straighten your view. Then only purification of view, or what we call ditti, come to be. So these three stages, purification of sila, morality, will lead to the purification of content of consciousness. Then after that, straightening of the view, which is purification of one's ditti or views. So all this are the sequence that cultivator will have to go through. These are the more refined and detailed explanation of the cultivation. But for most people, they have to follow this sequence. But for those who are cultivated before, they need not follow the sequence. When they come, they already have the past practice and all those things. Then they understand all this. But then after they understand, connect back, awaken, then when they look back, it's actually, they will have the understanding that cultivation have to start this way. So the teaching, especially Theravada tradition teaching by Sakyamuni Buddha, is actually very systematic and very comprehensive. And they can lead you in stage by stage. Very good. You can see the beauty of today's sharing and like very detailed revision means you have developed the understanding. Yeah, you continue, Pujay.
Yes, Bharatiya, the reason I have that understanding is because of my own cultivation, that through the realization that I can see how deep this sharing is, you know, because I see in my cultivation, in my meditative mind, you know, how it happened, is it? Therefore, I can appreciate a lot more deeper your profound sharing, is it, brother? It's not just the how you call it, comprehension level itself, you know?
Yes,
comprehension level is just the thought that comprehend,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the meditative mind that understand insight into the phenomena, you know? Yeah, so that is a difference, like, you know?
Yeah, the big difference. But now everything becomes like very clear to you.
Yes, yes.
It's like you yourself have gone through.
Then
the way I can put it into words is because I have this stability of understanding. That's why I can actually bring out all the important words to actually explain it. And it's so nicely placed, like concise and easy to comprehend for those who have cultivated. Otherwise, what happened is for people who are new, they know there's a lot of beautiful teaching inside there. They have to listen to it again and again and again, to slowly assimilate all the understanding. Then put it into practice. So it depends on where the cultivator is at what stage, then how they understand it, and how they grasp it, and how they actually can make use of it to progress. That's why the sharing by those who have stabilized their understanding and gone through is very important. Because it can give rise to the full spectrum of understanding. That's why cultivator of all level, when they listen, they know this particular sharing is unique, different. Normal teacher or normal guide cannot teach and share like that. But this one need that stability of understanding. And the way it's explained, it link and connect to the whole teaching. Very good, Sadhu.
Yes, sadhu bharatyo. Yes,
Mm-hmm.
that is precisely the
Yeah,
stability
yeah.
of sati, awareness that
Yes.
bharatyo has been teaching and cultivating in the past, you know, and
Yeah,
past
yeah.
lives as well, that give you that stability. For me, I don't know about my past life, but at least this life, I
You
learned the
already
awareness
very
base.
good because you have developed the cultivation. That's why the moment I actually proclaim it or put it in words because of the clarity, you like can follow with a lot of joy and you know
Yes,
it's so beautiful. Yeah. That's why not everybody can be at your stage to receive all this because a lot of them are still new. Then there are some who have progressed, but first time they hear this, no? Then they see the beauty in the teaching or how it's connected, no? Or then they know a lot of gem inside there, a lot of pointer inside there. Then they have to listen to it attentively, slowly, again and again and again. And then only slowly, slowly the thing filter in. Then their cultivation develop the program only. That's why everyone at different stages of the cultivation understand they will receive it differently. But the whole message is for cultivator of all level. Whatever level you are, you listen, you see the beauty of it. Then like for your case, you have done it, you have a lot of joy. Then you know this is beautiful, this sharing is so different from normal sharing by others. So you're not only able to comprehend the sharing, the gist of it, but you can recall what you have gone through in your cultivation, like you described just now. All this is what happened when you go through the cultivation. Then you realize that they are so beautiful. Can be put in words, can be connected in such a beautiful sharing. And all this is recorded. That's why it's so beautiful. That's why this website, in time to come, can benefit a lot of cultivator, practitioner of the Dhamma, and even experienced cultivator, but more towards awareness based. Yeah, this one is not like the normal thought-based theoretical Dhamma anymore. This one, if you don't have the awareness-based cultivation, you cannot penetrate deep, you cannot appreciate much, you cannot go in deep. You only look for the words. You may not even point out to you the deep and penetrative meaning and understanding. So without sati awareness, you cannot really receive much. But for you all who has done the awareness based on the way you receive and understand is so different. It's very penetrative. Then everything like stand out very clearly. Very good. Sadhu. Yeah, Poche, you continue, yes.
Yes, sadhu bharatyo, that is precisely what happened when we have sati awareness-based meditation, you know. Yeah, so maybe I would talk about what I shared last Thursday and continue on. But before that, right, bharatyo, I was sharing about the formal meditation. And
Ah, yes.
I would like to like kind of like recall, recap what I said, so that
Can.
there's a connection to today, So what I said was this formal meditation, right? So you can have that awareness of this awareness nature, this so-called being is not you. And then when you come out of this meditation, right, you are able to illuminate that you have two minds, right? Like what, right?
That
You have
one
two
is
minds.
a very important discovery.
Because
You
this formal.
really like awaken to it. There is so much
Yes, correct.
joy.
Yes. So you can actually illuminate, right, that you have two mind. One is the true mind, the silent mind, or whatever name you want to call it, you know, the pure awareness nature, but and the mundane mind, you know, the thinking mind. So
Thinking
you
mind,
can
yes.
see, you can illuminate, you can see the far apart. These two are very far
Correct,
apart in terms of characteristic,
correct. Yes,
So. In the formal meditation, is so powerful that you can illuminate this difference,
yeah,
is
yeah,
it?
yeah.
You can tell them apart very
Yeah.
clearly. It's a very distinct
Yes.
characteristic
You can
that...
insight into it. Then the
Yes.
characteristic of anicca, dukkha, anatta very clear. Because that
Yes,
movement
correct.
itself show it to you.
Yes, correct, correct.
Yeah.
So this is the formal meditation that is so
Yes.
powerful, and you can do that, okay? So now I will talk about the mindfulness in the midst of life, lah, you know. So I like to talk about the aspect of it that Brother Teo talked on Thursday, the four circles of formation, and how we return to the mundane mind from pure awareness, from the PWC, the phenomena of
world of consciousness,
first to the mundane mind, to the pure awareness, to the source,
nature.
Right? Okay. So I will talk about the aspect of this mindfulness in the midst of life now. Okay. So I will start by saying that based on my personal experience, Bharatiyo, this mindfulness in the midst of life, it has many, many possibilities, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so complex that you can never expect what can happen in the cultivation, in the daily life, you know.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
is a myriad of possibility, you know, Bharatiyo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The it's unending in that sense, you know.
Yeah, the feel of pure awareness seldom been explored. Because those who do thought-based never touch that. But for those who have stabilized the awareness and developed the understanding of the Dhamma, they not only touch that, they went into it and they can see, like you explained, the mind-right possibility of this happening. And it can pick up a lot of new things which normal thought-based cannot do. Well, that is all knowledge. That is all manifestation of the mundane mind, which carries with it all the characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. That one cannot see things as they are. That one is not silent, not able to insight into phenomena awaken. Then they are not able to understand many things that this pure awareness nature is capable of. That's why all this discovery is very beautiful. That's why your description of this pure awareness nature means daily mindfulness in the midst of life that can let you understand and develop all the transformation, and it has so much possibility that normal living being cannot understand. Even the one I described, specific phenomenal awareness, there are so many of it within nature's phenomena, within nature's occurrences. Then how, from all this understanding, you clearly understand why the Buddha say, "My make are they. When my arise, all things arise." And this mind that the Buddha mentioned, Mano, which is the forerunner of all things, you will also understand its meaning very clearly. But you saw it, how it creates, how it manifests, how it arises, and how it passes away, how it conditions all the various sankhara mind state, how it triggers off fear, worry, anxiety for the deluded one. Then how, for the one that has the Dhamma understanding, how the yoniso manasikara manifests to help you understand and help you stabilize your mindfulness and awareness so that your mind does not stir, does not react like before. So that the habitual tendency or this starts to slow down, and after that, with the stability of understanding, how it root out. So all this only pure awareness can see and understand and develop all this movement. Normal mind cannot. The thought based on cannot. A lot of theory the thought based on. A lot of Dhamma, but no real direct seeing, no real silent awakening. All this, you need the pure awareness nature. Sadhu to you. That's why now you can also come in and share with the joy. Because you saw all this. Very good. Continue.
Yes,
Radio.
So beautifully explained
Yeah.
and elaborated by Bratio. Yes, yes. So I mean, initially it's just yoniso maniskara at the moment of sense experience.
Yeah, yeah.
But eventually, Bratio, when you have more stability, right? You can how you say you can
then
assess,
it's arising.
You can assess,
by itself.
yes.
The
You can
moment
assess.
the yoniso manasikara there, then the understanding there, then that thing subsides, cease. Then you realize, hey, different from last time, hey, like it has no power over you. Hey. The habitual stirring, like no more momentum, hey, no more like movement like before already. Then as you witness more and more of the cessation of that mind state, like anger, fear, then you realize profoundly that they are dependent originating, not intrinsic. Then you can stay there more and more, more and more. That's why later on, whatever arise, you just stay, let things be aware. Like I taught Kok-Lun, stay with it, be with it. Then everything cease. In the light of our pure awareness nature, everything will return to its original state, which is tranquility, stillness, peace, and the silent nature. These are words to describe, but actually it is the pure nature only, nothing. No being inside there, nothing. That's why the understanding will become very, very different as you progress. Then you realize the real meaning of anicca, dukkha, anatta is so deep, so penetrative, and so much stages to it. As you cultivate, as you transform, as you develop the understanding, as your consciousness transform, especially after your Monday mind collapse, as you move into your nature and you illuminate that nature, the more you progress, the more things happen. And the more understanding unfolds. And this is so beautiful. That's why in the early day I just hint. There are so much things about pure awareness that my nature understand but cannot share and teach. People has not reached that level. Now that you start to share all this and I start to explain deeper, this, what they call teaching, the deeper aspect of it will surface. And it will help a lot of cultivators all the way who later on reach all these stages of cultivation. And the website becomes like so different. It's like a gem for you to look for all these things. That's the reason why a lot of Kayamita also start to realize since the last few years, the sharing from me during the retreat and our this weekly sharing is so different now. As we continue to evolve, as Kayamita continue to progress, there will be more and more deeper understanding and sharing coming out. And all this you cannot find in the books unless the cultivator who described it has gone through that phase of cultivation and realization. And most of them, even if they have done it, they don't have the stability to explain that whole thing. Because ours is so unique. After I received the message from Maitreya, since the year 2008, then over this last 12 to 13 years, the sharing has become so different. So all this evolved out now. And it cannot be learned by a single person. Whosoever who has gone through this cultivation, they must also have the causes and conditions to develop the sharing. And through the sharing, it will evolve by itself. Well, this one, you cannot like, want to share, it come out, one cannot. It need causes and conditions for it to come out. And how it come out is actually amazingly marvelous and beautiful. That's why you see the unfolding that happened. Never before. That's why my nature also rejoice. Well, as I like receive all this sharing, then my nature inside rejoice. Then it know how to actually add in the part that is needed for all this cultivator of the way who has progressed, especially Kayamita, to actually benefit them further so that they can penetrate faster, okay? They can develop more stability to their understanding. So this is the reason why Maitreya's message to my nature is it, 请你把正法传下去, please transmit the real Dhamma, the true understanding of the cultivation and the practices of this true Dhamma. And this is the one that cover the full spectrum until those who have penetrated even until the fourth stage of Bohimai development. Because all these practices and cultivation is like very difficult to come by already. Very difficult to receive the sharing already. Because no book right. And you can't really get it from people who can deliver this type. And they need the causes and conditions. That's why it's not easy. There may be, but different form. And they may come under different aspect of the sharing and the teaching. So, for cultivator of the way, how you manifest your vow and how you develop affinity with the great beings will actually bring forth the causes and conditions. And for our case, it's really a very beautiful, unique experience and journey. Very, very good. Thank you, Pusing, for creating all this condition so that my nature can share all this. Yeah.
Thank you, Varatio, for your compassion and generous sharing with Kayamitas all this while that help us to penetrate the more profound and deeper Dhamma, you know, not the superficial Dhamma that we often hear most of the time.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So next I want to talk about is about this, how shall I put it? Huh? But for this mindfulness in daily life, right? Now, because as a human being, we have a form of mind, we have to live through our life, you know?
Even though, is very important too.
Yes.
Which even I though, explained many times. Yeah.
Yes. Even though we have awakened to the Dhamma, we still have to live through our life, so-called karmic, you know? That
yes. It,
karmic
that's why
of this,
you will come
life.
To understand there is such thing as life.
Yes.
And life itself, within the condition world, has its own set of conditioned Dhamma. That's why there is this, what they call law of karma, four noble truths, the law of dependent origination, then the various types of essential Dhamma. Then you have to do your duty. Because the form and mind is subject to karma. You cannot say, oh, not so real. He know you, he know me, anicchang dukkha anatta. So you like just let things be, then don't want to go further. No. There is so much beauty within life itself, within the conditioned world, with the conditioned Dhamma understanding and the unconditioned Dhamma understanding. That's why the Buddha say we must know how to do our duty. The enlightened beings, the Arya and the great beings, they have the four unique qualities of good conduct. It's the order of the disciple of the Buddha, of upright conduct, then of wise conduct. The last one is most beautiful, of dutiful conduct. You do your duty in accordance with the law of karma, and you will know how to manifest accordingly. That's why from there the perfection all come in, and with the perfection it support you. That's why Samasambuddha, they perfect their wisdom that leads to the perfection of virtue. And these two, they cultivate together. As their wisdom arise, their virtue also become perfected. And the stages that accompany this cultivation can be developed, because that is the way the awareness nature is capable of. And all this manifestation, it has its causes and conditions to unfold and to manifest. That's why it becomes very beautiful. Yeah, good. And you continue. Sorry to interrupt you again.
Yeah. No problem, brother. Yes. Yes. What I wanted to say is similar along your line. Yes. So I was saying that we have to live through our life. So
yeah, living life is the most beautiful. That things also need to cultivate and learn a lot.
You need
to go through the Noble Eightfold Path. Then understand life, essential Dhamma clearly. Then apply Noble Eightfold Path in the midst of life, to cease all your suffering. Then the beauty of life shine forth. You come with a form and mind, with this type of understanding, and you no need to suffer. And you can live life to the fullest. You can get to realize or experience the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And existence becomes so wonderful. That's why that phase also very beautiful, and the scope is very extensive. The cultivation is very extensive. But with what I have shared with you all, you all have the key understanding and pointer. Then you can expand on it very easily. That's what you are doing now. Yeah, you have the understanding, then you appreciate it. Then you are starting to want to share all this and elaborate on it. So what my nature do is, I help you to expand on all this, so that when you listen again, you penetrate very fast and you understand very fast. Yeah, this is how my nature's skill is. It is very good at linking all the teaching together and explain it as one full teaching of the unconditioned Dhamma, and the other is conditioned Dhamma, and how to bring all these two together to perfectly understand life. Without the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma understanding, you cannot understand life. You still don't really have the ability to understand life. The secret. That's why I say the sainthood way, don't go into all this. Yeah, it's not necessary. But the bodhisattva way, that cultivation which is a lot more extensive, incorporate all this. That's why I say that teaching, that sharing which Maitreya want me to share, is very, very extensive, comprehensive. And when the message came in 2008, my nature rejoiced. I knew what that thing is, and I knew I have that understanding to share and teach. And now, 12 over to 13 years later, it has unfolded so beautifully. And going forward, you all can predict also, can know that it's even going to be more and more amazing and marvelous and wonderful. The word is wonderful, amazingly wonderful. Very good, Sadhu. Pocheng, you go back and talk about the live one.
Yes, Sadhu Bharatio. For Bharatio, it's very different from, at least different from me, because Bharatio has cultivated a lot further with your coming nature, very beautiful, and your spiritual nature is quite complete, you know.
Don't worry, you are at the stages where you are going through, and this is the condition my nature needs for me to continue to explain all this and bring forth. It is like meant to be, like I say, causes and conditions are needed for Dhamma to unfold. And this is what is happening. That's why I say normal teaching cannot be like that one. Normal people cannot teach you this type of thing.
Yes.
Need courses in Gaudiya. It need very extensive understand. That's why Maitreya used the word, please help, transmit or use the word. Ba qing ni means please, qing ni, ba zhen fa chuan xia qi, please transmit the true Dhamma. That word very deep one in its meaning. It's not only the superficial, essential Dhamma. That one, long ago, finished already. But the Bodhisattva way one, the conditioned and unconditioned to live life, to understand the secret life. That's why a lot of the thing I share this life, the book never write one. You can check the teaching. So all this is something that is like unfolding because of causes and conditions. That's why Maitreya's nature came. Then you look at the website. The people listening are very unique people. Funny, a lot of them, I don't know them, from all over the world. And they can understand or follow and appreciate what has been shared. That is the beautiful part. So all this will continue to evolve. That's why meant to be will be. Okay, back to you, Poche.
Yes. So, Bharati, what I wanted to say is, so in the midst of life, for me, at my stage, right, I'm purifying my karmic nature, you know, Bharati.
Yeah,
I'm purifying my karmic nature and developing
because
and cultivating.
The importance of it.
Yes.
And that's why you want to have all this understanding life after, so that when you come again and again, you evolve and move very fast. Your nature can become so different. That's why this style of cultivation is not the normal one. This one speed up the Bodhisattva ways cultivation one, the understanding. And this style of teaching, even the recorded Theravada and Mahayana Sutta, you cannot get this style of teaching inside there. The later one that I share. So all this evolve and need causes and conditions to come out. That's why every civilization, great beings come, they teach different things. But what needed to be recorded are these new things, which is no longer the sutra version of the past. Well, that one already been used by many over a long period of time. But now, civilization has evolved, the teaching has evolved, the understanding has evolved. And more of this type of new understanding and discovery will come about. It's just like the scientists, as they progress, as they discover more and more penetrative understanding of the theory within science, then they make great progress. Even our civilization on this planet, you look at the last 40 years, the 4 decades. Our understanding of what we call the world has transformed so much because of the advent in AI, internet technology, and all those things. Ever since the advent of the technological revolution, starting with the internet and all those things, and a lot of learning has become so different. Now with the AI assisted, they got a lot of new things. That day I saw AI agent. They can train all this AI to not only do the standard thing. They can, like, through the internet and the recorded thing, they can even extract for you and come up with a proposal for you. To choose and to use it for your advertising or whatever. Then they even put it into the Meta or what they call Facebook and other social media where they test it. And within 12 hours, 24 hours or 48 hours, they know how popular this advertising through the AI can actually create the content that people like, you know. And the rating, everything, they give you all the score and all those things. You know. That's why now, things has become so different. So different. Yeah. And things are evolving and progressing very fast. That's why the spiritual understanding also have to evolve, progress, and catch up. So our this sharing not only involve the Dhamma, involve life itself and the progress. That's why I say we live in a golden era where the last 8 decades has been so magnificent. 8 decades means from the 40s, 40s, during the Second World War. We were so backward and evolved until by now, actually the last 4 decades, we progressed so much. We evolved so much. Even in the space exploration field, we penetrated the universe and all those things to understand. But mainly in the scientific field, the physical law and biological order of nature. But that one is powerful enough. That one actually gives rise to a lot of understanding. Then the mind capacity of living being, that assisted by AI. Then later on, you can actually combine the consciousness and technology. So that part is again another new field. So once that one evolved, that one only cultivator like us, awareness based on with the technical understanding can do. Those who don't go into awareness based on, they are limited to only technological advancement and using the thought, thought based, knowledge based and all those things. Well, these are physical and biological order. But these are not consciousness itself. Understand? Then they are trying to find out whether they can develop the understanding of creating consciousness in AI, artificial intelligence. So that part, they can try. And you will know. But whatever they succeed is limited to that one. Because what you must understand is, for you to come to this existential world, you need the karmic nature that can manifest the causes and conditions for your mundane mind that can become conscious for the senses. Well, all this evolved very long already on, millennium. Otherwise it cannot be what it is on. So all this understanding, how to combine, consciousness to understand all this and expand on all this is not easy. But for those who have the cultivation and understanding, they will have a lot of joy. Like me, I saw all this after 1989 onward. I saw all this possibility. That's why I keep on telling you, don't miss this golden window. The last few decades is a golden era. And within my lifespan of now about 7 decades, I witnessed and saw so many things, which actually is a great blessing. And moving forward, maybe another decade, by the time I am 80, the evolution, the transformation will be a lot more. And we will get to understand a lot more things. So these are all the possibility and beauty and marvel of existent life, which you have actually brought out and created the condition for this sharing. And this is very beautiful. Very good, Ojeng. So you continue.
Sadhu, Bharatio. I do not know much about AI because I'm not in the IT field, but
Don't worry. Later on, you will understand. When you listen to this again, reflect and contemplate, then later on, you got the interest. You go in and Google or internet, then you do some research. Then you see what the later civilizations, what they call transformation understanding is. So now there are a lot of fields that you can go in and develop the understanding. And things are evolving so fast that the new generation is so different. No? Not only data is fast, no? Everything is evolving and changing very fast. But with the advent of AI, a lot of what they call traditional scope of work or what they call duties of workers, they call it the what type of worker really? I forgot for AI, tech worker or what? Because everyone have their role, but AI through the advancement of technology and understanding, they can actually take over and do better thing than you, you know, like diagnose the doctor's sickness and all things. But the danger of technology is you have to screen, no? Not always they are correct, no? But I realize now they learn through what is being like shared on the internet. Then they got all the what they call data. Then they see which are the popular one, and which are the one acceptable to most people. Then they go for that. Then they continue to develop. Then they see the rating. Just like you want to know which restaurant, like the rating, then reliable or what. You see the what they call how many actually did the sharing. But you have to filter one. Some can be their friend or no. They are, I should say, related to them, want to promote their restaurant. Then sometimes you go, like Sui and Ben told me, in Singapore, certain type of food store, you line up 1 hour, you think very good, everybody like. But when you get the food, it's not what it is. So all this, you need to screen, you need to filter. So internet is like that. Not everything is correct. But you have to understand, internet is here to stay. Technology is here to stay. It's the user of technology, like I said. The user of technology, you have to understand all this. And then you can benefit from it. But if the user itself is gullible and deluded, then because of the karmic law, they also get entangled. That's why with the advancement of all this, you got a lot of new scam that last time never surfaced before. So now the new way of scamming people and all those things is no longer the traditional way of happening like before already. So new things are unfolding. And nowadays you never heard of one like last time. Out of no reason can be scammer, 9-10 million, sometimes hundreds of million. Hey, it can just happen like that. And all of a sudden you realize actually a lot of these guys have quite a lot of money, you know. But pitiful because of karma. They get themselves entangled, then they fall into all this. So even our Malaysian police and MACC, they're working on this. The corruption and the scam is a lot. They cannot cope and keep on evolving, you know, smarter and smarter. So before they can even catch all those the old one, the new way of scheming come out, and more cases. And then the numbers are getting bigger and bigger now, the sum. So all this, we will have the, what they call, possibility of witnessing all this. Depending. For those that are younger, I rejoice with your good condition. Well, you get to witness a lot more. Like those who are in their 30s, 40s. You have at least another 5 decades or 4 decades. And these are beautiful golden years, and these are beautiful evolution. These are our planet. We can evolve until become very advanced species, and a lot of things can come out of it. So all these are the nature's understanding that my nature, which has evolved before, can see, you know, can understand, I can follow. That's why if I don't bring out all this to share, your ability to comprehend is like what normally a lot of Dhamma practitioners go through. They are limited by the Dhamma only. You know? They are kept like at the Dhamma. They cannot come out beyond the Dhamma. In fact, the Dhamma is not just static, like that Dhamma for essential Dhamma for enlightenment. That one is just one small part. Then the Bodhisattva way, the extensive understanding of life, existence, and all that. And that one is the real one. And that one, once it manifests, it can be very beautiful. That's why I always say, this is the golden era. And I realize my nature like to come during this transition period. And it like to have the birth of that phase that I can optimize and see a lot of things and contribute in whatever way my nature is capable of contributing. And all these are so beautiful. Okay, we share this one and now already. We let Pujing continue. Yeah, sadhu.
Yeah, sadhu, Bharatiyo. What you say is very true. The internet, you have to filter it because I have friends that always send fake news, you know, Bharatiyo, that they thought is real. You know, I mean, sounds like very technological, like, wow, so scientific, but actually it's a fake news lah, that give people the wrong idea what is going to happen, you know. So sometimes we cannot believe what we see on internet, lah, right? Okay, yeah, just to talk about internet and AI also, right? Yeah, very, very correct, you know. This AI can be like what is most popular, most acceptable to all that, you know, write on the internet and chat, but they can also be not accurate and wrong as well, you know. So when it comes to medical, it's best to seek the good doctor, huh, for your medical treatment or diagnosis, you know, not just believe what you read on the internet. So you can be you know, lead to the wrong idea and do the wrong thing lah. Okay.
It's like the user of technology, very important. Like
yes,
we all,
correct.
The user of the yeah. mind, the consciousness,
yes,
the understanding.
Yes.
That user okay. is very important.
Yes, yes, correct. Yes.
Yeah. If the yeah. user is gullible, then technology has power over them. They become gullible too. They make mistakes. Then because of karmic conditioning, they cannot scam and they believe the wrong news and they will go and meet up with that type of doctor that are not so ethical. But in the past, they also practice as doctor like that. So you reap what you sow, you end up. That's why it's meant to be. You cannot fault technology or what. All this evolve, when it evolve, law of karma follow, understand or not? That's why during the tsunami, those that are meant to be, not to die, even they are there, they don't die, they survive. But those that are not supposed to be there, they're supposed to die because the collective karma, they will be there one or somehow, and they will get into trouble. That is nature's law. This is the reality that manifests within the conditioned world. So the conditioned Dhamma about life is a lot of aspect on. Don't worry, Pochi. Now you share your part. Because this part you need more time to understand. You are not good at this field of the life and existence side yet. Later on, maybe you can understand better. Then this one will evolve also.
Yes, yes, correct. But because like I earlier on say, right, this unconditioned Dharma is more straightforward,
yeah,
although
yeah,
it's
yeah.
profound, but it's more
Easier to
straightforward.
understand.
Yes, it's more straightforward, and
Yes,
you
yes.
can realize it, you know, in your formal meditation. But
Mm.
the condition is a different thing. It's
Yeah,
more
yeah, yeah.
complex,
That
and
one is
the
totally
myriad
different. And that one is
possibility.
extensive. That's why I said
Yes,
that one is
yes.
unending one.
Yes,
Unending.
yes,
And
yes.
a lot of possibility are like you came to
Yes,
know.
correct.
Oh.
Yes.
The
So,
mind, right? Possibility and manifestation. Your mind make are they. And mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. And mind arise, all things arise. You know? Means all our existential possibility arise. You know? That's why I used to tell my wife last time. If people tell you, oh, you got this type of rhyme, that type of rhyme, this type of people, I say, all these are possible. Whether you have the understanding of it or not. Because when you know it's only wisdom free, you cling on to all this for what? Understand that? But when you understand already, straighten your view, then you have gone through the condition, the mind, then you understand life. Ah, that one different. That one you don't go and create, whoa, got higher practice, got one and one and one. So a lot of people are they chase after teacher, chase after teaching, chase after guy, especially during the 80s. A lot of these people around. But then later on, I realized after the 90s, 20s, when technology became like that, then the teaching also actually adjusts itself. They realize that only wisdom free. So the emphasis is now more on sati, awareness based. So the thought based on is like slowly, slowly losing its popularity and ability to draw the crowd like the 80s and the 90s. So things are evolving. Everything is happening very fast. That's why as far as life is concerned, like Po Cheng also starts to understand the unconditioned is very, very different, limitless, mind rights, extensive. So going into that part also is already very beautiful because for cultivator to evolve from the unconditioned Dhamma, the sainthood way, to the understanding of the conditioned Dhamma and see the beauty of the Bodhisattva way and continue to develop the understanding of life and evolve is a very beautiful understanding and beginning. That's why for Po Cheng from now onward, you will continue to explore that and it will lead to better and better understanding. Very good. Sadhu.
Yes, Sadhu. But this is a natural consequence of
yeah,
the
yeah,
cultivation,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
it's not
yeah.
that I
it will
I
evolve
I
by itself.
yes, yes, evolve by itself and like just like what Brother said, like wisdom free, right? So in this mindfulness in daily life, in the midst of life, right? So you learn a lot of things of the conditioned Dharma, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
right.
And the interesting part is how this pure awareness nature can help you overcome so many
yes.
things, you know, Bratio, that can free you from affliction, you know. That's the beauty of it, that you can access to it instantaneously. And the most fascinating for me, Bratio, huh, in the midst of life, you can instantaneously move in into the pure awareness and resolve your affliction, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever karmic ripening or friction it can resolve by itself.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah,
That is the marvel of it, la, that
yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
Bodhisattva way
that's why
able
I say
to help
when
me to
you
do
just
it.
Maintain awareness,
yes.
The nature stay there.
Everything
yes, dissolve and disappear.
Yes.
That's
yes,
why
correct.
No reality.
Yes. Yes, that
all the attachment and the clinging and the grasping is through delusion that people give meaning. That's why they get themselves entangled. Karmic is like that. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. It's already set. You don't try to change the past. Don't try to like fight and all. Because these are just, like the Buddha say, the way things are. Condition like that, things will. So we have to come to terms with that reality at the moment. And then we move. And then we can make a difference to what will happen from that moment onward. But to have the understanding and to be able to transform from that moment onward need a lot of wisdom, understanding. Yeah. Without the Dhamma, you cannot. It's like the karmic consciousness already conditioned you into that karmic process. I realize a lot of beings cannot do anything towards their life. They are like set already on, unless there are causes and conditions from the past, affinity. Otherwise, no way to come out on. So all this understanding will manifest the way you will understand. That's why after bringing out this topic and this condition, today's sharing by nature is very important, very beautiful. You listen to it, you will learn a lot of very new things and very beautiful things. Well, these are the more deeper understanding of the evolution of consciousness, existence, life, and the understanding of the law of karma. Then the pancha niyama, how they interact. Even this AI thing, how they can generate and mimic people's voice and even appearances, like very real one. Because they have all this AI thing inside there, and they can come up with a lot of very fantastic, what they call imitations. So technology really, even a lot of scientists who go through all this, some of them, they have the fear that it is a dangerous thing to go in. When AI become too powerful, it can lead to a lot of the negative aspect of existence. But all this, don't worry, it will evolve. Technology is here to stay, that's what I say. You cannot blame technology. You have to evolve and develop the understanding. And then, somehow or other, the human mind finally will dictate, is still supreme. That's why as a human being, if you fall, you can go to hell. If you perfect yourself, you can become a Sammasambuddha. That is the extreme. That's a human consciousness, human mind, they are very powerful. Especially the pure awareness nature, understanding that true mind, that true nature, that pure nature is very important, very, very, I should say, very, very, there is another word, apart from important, it's very crucial, the word is crucial, for us to understand life. And understand all this. Yeah, all this will continue to move and evolve. Okay, Poche, another 3 minutes. You summarize.
Yes, Ratio, so much about this, you know. In fact, what I wanted to say is life is the greatest teacher, that the Dhamma, you can, actually the Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, opaniko, not just pachetang, you know, brother. You can actually cultivate it here and now. It's like, I mean,
sanditiko, always say, that can be realized in the here and the now.
Yes, you know, it's timeless, you know, you can beyond investigate thought, into it, mind, and then you can also, I mean, go into the pure awareness nature, which is opaniko, you know, brother. So all these, as you cultivate, you can see all this Dhamma
unfolding.
Five characteristic unfolding, and also it's so beautiful and wonderful in cultivating our pure awareness nature, in living our life, we cultivate that, you know. So we must not forget, while living life, we have to stay with the pure awareness, you know,
yeah,
so that
yeah.
we can continue to perfect our spiritual nature, you know, yeah, and karmic nature, you know. That's very important to prepare ourselves for the future, the next life, and then life beyond next, you know, like Brother Teo always said, life after life become better and better. So this is the preparation we have to do, lah, Brother Teo, you know, for myself, lah, you know, and everybody, cultivators who are serious about, you know, developing their karmic nature and spiritual nature in this very life. Okay, so brother, since we have very little time left, what I want to say is, what I want to say, this is a big jigsaw puzzle that we have to put together, the unconditioned and the conditioned, you know.
Dhamma,
and through our cultivation, formal meditation and the mindfulness in daily life, which is the sati sampajana, is so important and crucial, so that I mean, we can how you call that, face our karmic, you know, because
you see,
in the past life, I don't know what happened to me, lah, you know, I don't know what happened to me.
Don't worry.
So when
no
we live this life,
not
to worry, not to say I worry, but what I'm saying is, as long as we have this pure awareness with us, we can overcome whatever karmic in the past, you know, in this real life.
It's not
that's
an issue at all.
Yes, correct, correct.
Because whatever karmic is already over.
Yes, yes. But
then
we can overcome it.
More important
beautifully.
Is the wisdom to be at peace with it when whatever unfold, moment to moment. So every moment, the causes and conditions are already there. So you must accept that reality at peace, then move. Then your Noble Eightfold Path all will stabilize and the understanding all will be there. Then like you say, you will have the wisdom, Yoniso Manasika, to protect you so that you need not suffer anymore. And that is the most beautiful way to come. Then when you have that already, then the understanding of life becomes different. You unfold differently again. That's why that first part, which is the wisdom part, from the awareness nature, develop it until you understand it very clearly, stabilize it, then the Noble Eightfold Path fall into place. Then you know how to live life and you understand life, then you come with a form and mind that does not suffer. And that is the most beautiful. Then you develop the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You get to live the life of an enlightened being to explore the meaning of life, existence, and to continue to evolve your karmic nature, your spiritual nature, so that, like you say, every form and mind, every segment of your nature's coming in the form of a form and mind can become so beautiful where you evolve. And like my nature, this life you call Brother Teo is so perfect, so beautiful. Everything that my nature needs is already, like, through the wisdom and understanding, already planted. Then I just come, echoed and flow. Then when I connect after 89, everything came back. And my nature understand. Then from there, I continue to evolve and move and develop all this understanding. That is the beauty of it. And all this are possible for Kayamitas.
One more point I want to mention, just now you mentioned the acceptance, the acceptance is not just the word, you know. The acceptance actually comes after you have the cultivation of the sati and the samadhi, the upekka, the equanimous mind will come automatically, you know, Brother Teo. You don't need to let
the wisdom. It will unfold. Then everything ceases. Everything no longer a reality, no longer an issue. That's why that acceptance is peace. At that moment, you no need to do anything.
Yes, correct, correct. You don't even say that I accept, it's already.
No need because that is the way things are.
Yes,
condition
correct,
of that
correct,
thing
correct, correct.
So that wisdom is the yoniso manaskara that free you. Then you cease. Because that true mind that is aware and with the understanding doesn't manifest, doesn't create. doesn't move. But
yes,
after that, you have to live life. That's why after that, you can still act, you can still live, you can still move. So that part is the understanding with the Dhamma. Without the Dhamma understanding, most people still react and analyze through the thought process.
Yes, correct. Reason.
Then they can never get an answer.
Yes,
a lot of cultivators get trapped where they go back and use the mundane mind to analyze, to reason, and to try to get the correct answer. There is no answer to all this understanding. All this understanding is the moment you understand, finish, full stop.
Yes.
Whether sadhu, you understand brother, or you don't understand.
Yes, sadhu. Okay, let's rejoice.
Let's all rejoice.
Sadhu.
Then we will share merit, then we end. Akka satta cha pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana ittawata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo deo asadu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca vito bhavatu loko ca Raja bhavatu dhammiko Ibmina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Sattang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu 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 Okay. You all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.